I am so angry that we would allow people potentially, it's like murdering my own child or my wife or my parents to attack the United States of America. This is a crime unbelievable. Everyone in America should be outraged and should be willing to fight practically to the death to make sure that either this didn't happen or will never happen again. And anybody who is not angry about the idea that our election was stolen, I wonder where their souls are. I wonder what they are doing or thinking, that they do not understand what is being alleged, that this is not a joke, before I crack up and get even more unhinged.
I think, Eric, what they're doing is they're saying the Germans have already won. We better collaborate with them. Let
That's
me bring
right.
my resume to the German troops and try to join the Vichy
That's
government.
Right. That's right. Well, look,
that's what these
saying.
People are doing.
I am really angry, folks, because I have never seen, if somebody is threatening to undermine the greatest nation in the history of the world in this way, to destroy it, we should be willing to fight to the death, as in the revolution or as in the Civil War. Do you have any idea how many lives will be destroyed if this is real, if this is true? Unfortunately, I think it is.
This is the Eric Metaxas Show.
Hey there, folks. Very exciting guest right now. His name is Jay Valentine. He's the CEO of ContingencySales.com, a company investing in disruptive computer technologies. He's a regular contributor to Software Executive magazine, but recently he's been writing articles about voter fraud and that kind of thing at the American Thinker. Just so you understand who we're dealing with here, Jay led the team that built the eBay fraud detection engine. Did you get that, folks? Jay led the team that built the eBay fraud detection engine. He's just somebody I feel very privileged to have on to discuss what is happening with not only the Dominion voting machines, but with all this stuff in general. Jay Valentine, welcome to this program.
Hi, thank you, Eric.
You work in a field that most of us know almost nothing about. So for those of us who are curious what's happening, when we saw Sidney Powell's interview on Lou Dobbs talking about releasing the Kraken and about the voter discrepancies and finding about the origin of the Dominion machines and this technology in places where voter corruption is desired by the leadership, places like Venezuela, Cuba, a lot of us were taken aback. So what do you make of this from your position?
Well, Eric, what you are dealing with here is what we call industrial level fraud. Now, all elections have the dead guy from the War of 1812, and all elections have a few people who harvest ballots, sometimes more than others. Industrial level fraud is an entirely different situation. Industrial level fraud is where you have fraud at such a scale and it is so physically large that it actually begins to show up in some of the pattern analysis, the statistical pattern analysis that you've seen in the last few weeks from some PhD folks and a number of others.
Jay,
and
hold on just one second. Can you make sure you're looking at the camera? Do you know what I'm talking about? There we go. Much better. So just, you moved it, but that's okay. Just keep going. Go ahead. Sorry.
So industrial level fraud is the type of a fraud that is so wide scale and it is so broad that it shows up and can show up in the statistical pattern analysis that you've seen. And it is organized. It is something that when it occurs in such a way that mathematically it creates all kinds of impossibilities. And actually, it's very easy to identify industrial level fraud. And once you've identified it, there's some pretty commonly accepted steps that you have to go through to actually determine how much, who, when, and what.
Okay, so I know that you've been writing these articles at the American Thinker, but the larger question is, are you providing this information to people who can use it before the election is stolen? Because it it seems to me that you're pretty clear on the fact that some people were monkeying with these machines. That doesn't seem to be much of a question to you.
Well, clearly they were. And the type of work that needs to be done is not the type of work where you really need me or anybody else to come in and tell you. It's really basic forensic accounting fraud that would find this. The first thing that you need, which is clearly the case, is you need access to those machines. If you look at the machines, the actual where the tabulation actually occurred, you will look at log files, you will look at source code files, and you will see, and they don't need me to do it, although I have made my fraud team available to them, you will find this type of change that occurred during that evening when votes may have been moved from candidate A to candidate B. That stuff leaves tracks, Eric.
Well, if it's as simple as you make it sound, it's hard to believe that the president's team would not be on this. Do you have any sense whether they are?
Well, I don't. It's not like I talked to these guys. So what had happened was I wrote a couple of articles, as you saw in American Thinker. And in the articles, I noted that this is pretty standard stuff in industry. I mean, we've done big Medicaid fraud rings and we've done big property casualty insurance fraud rings. And this is a major fraud ring. And the way you find it is by looking at the voting machines, where the tabulation was done. Now, they shouldn't really be in a situation where I have to tell them that. That is not, you know, the state of the art. The state of the art is you always get a hold of the equipment and you look at those log files and that source code. And if you aren't able to do that, you're going to be very hard-pressed, Eric, to find the kind of fraud you need to overturn an election of this magnitude.
Well, I don't know anything about who controls voting machines and how this stuff works and whether localities or states are able to hide these things. And I don't know who's looking into it. But I guess from your point of view, and I want to go through this a little bit with you, it is clear. In other words, you're not saying it looks that way. It seems so clear to you that it's obvious that there was criminality involved in a United States presidential election.
There was clearly organized fraud rings occurring. They use the same type of patterns in multiple states. Every one of those states is essentially what we call a different data set. So it wasn't like they used one pattern across the country. They used one pattern in state A, and then in state B, they could have chosen to use a different pattern, but they didn't. So I've reviewed the math from several of the people who've positioned it on the internet. It's available for everybody to see. And so across multiple data sets in multiple states, the same things happened. And the mathematical analysis shows that the trends and the curves and the algorithms were identical. That can only happen if a centralized authority is somehow manipulating that in multiple locations.
How many different states are we talking about where you saw this pattern?
I've seen the pattern reported in three or four states. And again, I take you back to the analyses of several of the people, the professor from MIT, whose work is widely published right now, and a number of other people who have used the pattern recognition analysis to see the data. And when I saw that, it's simply an indicator. You don't need much more than that to dig in. Now, once you have the indicator, the indicator is more than enough to then go to the next step. The indicator doesn't prove there was fraud. What it proves is that there were mathematical impossibilities in that data set. So when you see a mathematical impossibility, you get a hold of those voting machines and you look at the source code, you look at the log files, and you see what the heck happened.
Can you tell us, layman, an impossibility, what kind of mathematical impossibilities we're talking about? Is that sort of thing you can translate for my listeners?
Sure. So if you look at some of the published data pattern analyses, it will show that the same algorithm was used across 6, 7, 8 precincts where it was measured, and they didn't measure every precinct, but they measured 6 or 7 or 8. And in every case, the greater the amount of Republican-only ballots where somebody voted straight Republican ticket, as that grew in intensity, a greater and greater proportion of votes were moved from Trump to Biden. So it was a pattern. And there's very good analysis out there. It has curves and graphs that anybody can understand. Now, from a layman's point of view, Eric, this is the equivalent of somebody flipping a coin 1,000 times and coming up heads every single time, but not doing it in one precinct, doing it in 3, 4, 5 of the precincts, all of which this analysis evaluated. So is that possible? Well, supposedly it is, but clearly from a rational point of view, it is the equivalent of a mathematical impossibility.
We have to underscore for people what a mathematical impossibility is. In other words, you've just done it in a way, but because I think sometimes it's like somebody who's being too polite. We have to make it very clear that even though something is mathematically possible, it's absurd. It's utterly absurd. It's like somebody, you just said, flipping a coin. If you flip a coin and it comes up heads 5 times in a row, you'd say, that is amazing. If you did it 500 times in a row, you'd say, that is fraud. There's a trick. Everyone knows there's a trick. You don't need to be smart or a mathematical genius to understand that that's not possible. That cannot happen unless somebody's gaming the system. You're talking about that level of mathematical improbability.
That's correct. And again, mathematics don't prove fraud. Mathematics are the massive smoke that tells you there's a fire. And the fire is in the software for these voting machines. And if the people who are investigating are able to get their hands on the source code and the log files and all of the transaction files for that equipment, they're going to see that there was some type of external thing that happened, or they're going to see that there is something in the source code that either at a certain point in time or under a certain circumstance made something happen that would not have happened with normal vote tabulations. It will be there.
Right. Yeah.
And it's any forensic, competent forensic computer person will be able to find it.
Jay, well, I'm afraid we're out of time. This has been magnificent. I'm going to send everyone I know to your articles at American Thinker, and we're going to pass along this video. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Eric, and you're doing God's work. I've read your material, and I've been to your website, and congratulations on your wonderful work.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
This is the Eric Metaxas Show.
Hey there, folks. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. Special guest John Zmirak with me for this hour. We're going to be discussing Sidney Powell's allegations made at the press conference yesterday, and we're going to be discussing Tucker Carlson's allegations against Sidney Powell. They were not nearly as harsh as some friends led me to believe, and I think he makes actually a very good point, although, as I discuss this with John Zmirak, you will see where we think he ultimately is mistaken. We want to talk about the press conference. If you did not see it yesterday, what I have been saying is, and by the way, John is here, right? John, welcome. We can talk about this together.
Great, Eric. I'm looking forward to it.
You wrote an article at the Stream about your relationship with Sidney Powell. I want to talk about that because that to me seems at the very center of how I process this.
Okay.
I have said on Twitter that the reason I believe Sidney Powell totally is because I know you. And that's ultimately how we process things. If I know somebody's character as the way I know yours, and you insist on something, I will totally double down because I know I can completely trust you. And you feel the same way about Sidney Powell. And I want to talk about that because that is the way we process things, folks.
Right.
And so when people are making claims that they say we can't back it up with evidence, well, this isn't time for evidence. I guess, John, what I was going to say, and you can weigh in, but this was my experience yesterday of watching the press conference. I missed the first couple of minutes. I was busy. I turned it on. I was immediately completely gripped. Giuliani was speaking. Then Sidney Powell spoke. Then Janella spoke. Then Sidney Powell spoke again. But what I saw, I kept saying, finally, this is exactly what I've been waiting for. This is exactly the full-throated defense for the American people to see that these people are not kidding around. And when you hear them talk, at least that's my take on it, I mean, I know Jenna Ellis personally. I don't know Giuliani personally, but I know who he is. He took down the New York mob. He's a stinking hero with tremendous courage. So as I watched this, I thought to myself, oh my goodness, finally, these heroic figures have stepped up and they have put this stuff out there. And any fair-minded person is just going to say, oh my goodness, wow. And by the way, nobody covered it except Fox News, Newsmax, and OAN. All of the other networks had all kinds of nonsense on as though this weren't important.
Which just goes to show you, Eric, that their charges that we're being hustled into an authoritarian state have some credibility. Because in a democratic society with a free and open press, people cover stories like this. But then they would have covered stories like the Hunter Biden laptop too, but that didn't happen either.
What they don't do is
drive propaganda narratives down your throat that have no basis in fact, like the Russia collusion story.
But John, at this point, you and I are in violent agreement on that. But the new piece here, the disturbing piece, is that Fox covered it. Fox Business didn't cover it. I guess they didn't need to because they were already covering it on Fox. OAN covered it, and Newsmax covered it. Okay, so I'm watching this with Suzanne, and we are just stunned at the fire coming out of Sidney Powell, Jenna Ellis, and Rudy Giuliani. In other words, if you know these people at all, you know the one thing they do not do is blow smoke and act. They are not capable, these characters, of blowing smoke. If they are angry, it's because they're actually angry. They're not pretending to be angry. So all this comes out, and then the moment it's over, I think we were looking at it on Fox. The folks on Fox commenting on it instantly discounted it and effectively said things that didn't seem to speak to the reality of what I had just watched. And I looked at Suzanne. We just thought, what? Like, did we just hear that? What is that? I flipped to OAN and Newsmax and got nothing quite like that, but a little bit like that. In other words, kind of poking holes in a way that I thought, what did I miss? On Twitter, Rich Lowry, who is a friend, he has never been super pro-Trump, but he wrote something like, this is the most preposterous press conference ever held by anyone representing a sitting president. And at that point, I thought, okay, I've just gone through the looking glass into a bizarre world. If that
was the world you went into, Eric, the world of dishonest people, not addressing the issues, not addressing the merits, but trying to wave silk handkerchiefs and use sleight of hand to distract you from what's actually happening.
I guess I know that, but trying to take that in is very painful. Because it goes one step further. About an hour later, I looked at a clip that I hadn't continued watching TV, but there was a clip. Kristen Fisher, a reporter that I had previously totally respected, she's been on Shannon Bream many, many times reporting from the White House. She was talking to Dana Perino covering the press conference. This is, some 20 minutes after the press conference ended. And she was emotionally ripping apart Rudy Giuliani's presentation, saying that he had lied. And I was absolutely speechless. I thought, did they watch what I just watched? In other words, how can anyone be responding this way? Which brings us to the main reason I wanted you to be on this program, is your relationship with Sidney Powell.
Professional relationship, just to be clear.
Obviously.
I'm just being clear to the audience.
Yeah, professional relationship. I want to talk about that. You wrote a piece at the Stream, and I posted it all over my social media because I think people need to read this, because I think this is how we process things. Whom do we trust? For you, my audience, I want to play the entirety of what Sidney Powell said, because you need to hear this. But first, John, tell us about Sidney.
Sure. I've got a piece at stream.org, and the title is, I Know Sidney Powell, She's Telling the Truth. I thought I'd go simple with that. I worked in New York City doing public relations for a while before moving to Dallas, and one of the clients who came in was this author, Sidney Powell, and I got to know her. She has a very interesting story. She was a federal prosecutor, and she saw so much corruption, abuse of the law, abuse of the innocent by prosecutors with no consequences. She saw what Andrew Weissman, who was the protege of our current FBI director, Chris Wray, which should disturb us, what Andrew Weissman did to Arthur Anderson, destroyed an innocent accounting company because it happened to be associated with Enron, but it didn't do anything wrong. They destroyed Arthur Anderson. One of the five major companies in accounting in the country, they blew it up. She saw that federal prosecutors regularly withhold exculpatory evidence that they are legally bound to give the judge and give the defendants. They withhold it, and they never pay the price. Innocent people are destroyed. A U.S. Senator, Ted Stevens, was targeted and destroyed by a malicious prosecution that was only exposed as false after he died in a plane crash, having been disgraced and driven out of office.
This woman is a stinking hero with incredible courage. When we come back, we're going to play that clip more with John Zmirak. Do not go away. Folks, I'm talking to John Zmirak. We're talking about Sidney Powell, whom he knew personally. He's speaking to her character. He believes her. We're going to play the whole clip of what she said yesterday at the press conference. John, continue.
So Sidney was so outraged by the abusive, illegal prosecutions of innocent defendants by federal prosecutors that she switched sides and became a defense attorney to defend companies against that kind and individuals against that kind of abusive prosecution. Then she thought it important to get it out to the world, so she took 2 years off her law practice and researched and wrote a powerful book, License to Lie. And that was why I knew her. She had hired us to publicize her book. She published it herself. She took all the risk of being sued for defamation by people like Andrew Weissman and by other federal prosecutors. Then, after the book came out, she became Mike Flynn's defense attorney. Now, before her, his previous attorneys were the ones who had him end up in jail when he was utterly innocent. Sidney Powell took it on, trashed all the bad, lousy work the previous attorneys had done, and got the Justice Department to try to vacate the charges, and Obama judge is refusing to do that. She has seen the abuse of power, the abuse of the law, up close and personal, has devoted her whole career and her personal finances to exposing it. Now, by making these charges against the deep state, against what appears to be an incoming president, against a multi-million dollar company, Dominion, that's linked to George Soros, a billionaire, and various nasty foreign governments like Venezuela, she is putting her entire life, career, legacy, reputation on the line. She could easily be sued for defamation. She could be disbarred for this. She could be unable to make a living. I know Sidney. She wouldn't do that if she didn't think she had the goods on these people. So I believe we should be patient, give them a couple of days to bring this before some judges, not dismiss them immediately as if we were in some totalitarian state and someone had criticized the Communist Party, and of course they must be demonized. We must say that they seem insane. I was outraged when people at National Review said, Rudy Giuliani seemed unhinged. He seemed almost insane. That's what the Soviet Union would do to
Those people themselves are idiots, okay? I listen to Rudy Giuliani. Anybody who thinks he seemed unhinged and insane are themselves unhinged and insane and frankly should be ashamed of themselves when you think of what is at stake. I will say this, and then we're going to play the clip. I am so angry that we would allow people potentially it's like murdering my own child or my wife or my parents to attack the United States of America. This is a crime unbelievable. Everyone in America should be outraged and should be willing to fight practically to the death to make sure that either this didn't happen or will never happen again. And anybody who is not angry about the idea that our election was stolen, I wonder where their souls are. I wonder what they are doing or thinking, that they do not understand what is being alleged, that this is not a joke, before I crack up and get even more unhinged.
I think, Eric, what they're doing is they're saying the Germans have already won. We better collaborate with them. Let me bring my resume to the German troops and try to join the Vichy government.
That's right. Well, look,
that's what these people are doing.
I am really angry, folks, because I have never seen if somebody is threatening to undermine the greatest nation in the history of the world in this way, to destroy it. We should be willing to fight to the death as in the revolution or as in the Civil War. Do you have any idea how many lives will be destroyed if this is real, if this is true? Unfortunately, I think it is. Let's play the Sidney Powell clip. We'll play a good chunk and then we'll react to it.
Is the massive influence of communist money through Venezuela, Cuba, and likely China in the interference with our elections here in the United States. The Dominion voting systems, the Smartmatic technology software, and the software that goes in other computerized voting systems here as well, not just Dominion, were created in Venezuela at the direction of Hugo Chavez to make sure he never lost an election after one constitutional referendum came out the way he did not want it to come out. We have one very strong witness who has explained how it all works. His affidavit is attached to the pleadings of Lynn Wood in the lawsuit he filed in Georgia. It is a stunning, detailed affidavit because he was with Hugo Chavez while he was being briefed on how it worked. He was with Hugo Chavez when he saw it operate to make sure the election came out his way. That was the express purpose for creating this software. He has seen it operate, and as soon as he saw the multiple states shut down the voting on the night of the election, he knew the same thing was happening here, that was what had gone on. Now, the software itself was created with so many variables and so many back doors that can be hooked up to the internet or a thumb drive stuck in it or whatever. But one of its most characteristic features is its ability to flip votes. It can set and run an algorithm that probably ran all over the country to take a certain percentage of votes from President Trump and flip them to President Biden, which we might never have uncovered had the votes for President Trump not been so overwhelming in so many of these states that it broke the algorithm that had been plugged into the system. And that's what caused them to have to shut down in the states they shut down in. That's when they came in the back door with all the mail-in ballots, many of which they had actually fabricated. Some were on pristine paper with identically matching perfect circle dots for Mr. Biden. Others were shoved in batches. They're always put in a certain number of batches and people would rerun the same batch. This corresponds to our statistical evidence that shows incredible spikes in the vote counts at particular times. And that corresponds to eyewitness testimony of numerous people who have come forward and said they saw the ballots come in the back door at that time.
Let's pause it. I just want to say in hour two, after I'm done with John here, we're going to play my conversation from yesterday with the man who created the anti-fraud software for eBay. incredibly complex stuff, and he knows from his background that what happened in our election, there is no question that statistically what happened with the Dominion machines is not possible. So his testimony on this program, not official testimony, will be an hour or two. But John, do you hear the specificity? When I heard her say perfect ballots come in with identically matching perfect circle dots, is she making this up? It's so obvious that...
Well, what's interesting to me, Eric, is all the people who are dismissing this, they're saying she didn't bring any evidence. Of course, she made specific claims. They don't talk about any of the specific claims. They ignore the specificities that Giuliani and Powell offer and Ellis offer. They ignore them, and then they pretend they don't exist. They pretend these are wild, baseless charges hurled by three lunatics we rounded up from the Greyhound bus station and stuck in front of a microphone. And in fact, you know, the mayor of Chicago could be mistaken for such a person. But in fact, these are adults. These are professionals. These are really serious people with enormously important reputations and personal livelihoods. All of it is at stake. Jonathan Turley, one of the few neutral, objective, reliable legal experts out there, he said, if they don't have the proof of this, all these people could be sued into bankruptcy for defamation because, this is important, if you say something in court on behalf of your client, you're immune to a defamation suit. If you go in front of a microphone and say it, not as part of a legal case, what they did by going in front of a microphone, not in front of a judge, they threw away their personal immunity. They, Jenna Ellis, Sidney Powell, and Rudy Giuliani could be sued into bankruptcy by hostile billionaires whom they have accused of felonies. Either these people are kamikaze pilots destroying themselves with stuff that they made up that they know will be discredited, or they're telling the truth insofar as they think it's true. Now, they could be honestly mistaken, but I don't think so, but I want to see the evidence. But they're not making this up, and they're not insane. So they're right or they're genuinely mistaken.
And in this, I want to be clear, they remind me of those folks who signed the Declaration of Independence. Our fortunes, our lives, our sacred honor, they were putting it all on the line, knowing without any question they probably would be hanged by the neck until dead if they failed. Yeah. That is what is at stake with the three people that are being mocked in the media and by the conservative media. They put all of this on the line yesterday. We're going to play more from Sidney Powell and more with John Smirak when we return. Folks, do not go away. Share this with your friends. We're going to put it on YouTube, Eric Metaxas Show channel. Please share this. Thank you. Hey there, folks. I'm talking to John Smirak. Just yesterday, the president's legal team had a press conference. I posted that in its entirety on our YouTube channel, The Eric Metaxas Show. I beg every American to watch the whole thing as a duty to your republic. You watch the whole thing. I posted it at our Eric Metaxas Show YouTube channel. Right now, I'm talking to John Smirak. I want to play another clip from what Sidney Powell had to say yesterday in that conference, and we'll react to it. Let's go with that.
Notably, the Dominion executives are nowhere to be found now. They are moving their offices overnight to different places. Their office in Toronto was shared with one of the Soros entities, one of the leaders of the Dominion project in overall is Lord Malik Brown, Mr. Soros' number two person in the UK and part of his organization. There are ties of the Dominion leadership to the Clinton Foundation and to other known politicians in this country. Just to give you a brief description of how this worked, I'm going to quote from a letter that was written, and I will read that to make sure I get the quotes right. This person was objecting to the United States acquisition of Sequoia voting systems by Smartmatic, a foreign-owned company. I believe this transaction raises exactly the sort of foreign ownership issues that CFIUS is best positioned to examine for national security purposes. It's undisputed that Smartmatic is foreign owned and it has acquired Sequoia. They keep changing the names as they go along. Different times when a problem comes up, they just create another corporation and call it a different name. but it was a voting machine company doing business in the United States. Sequoia voting machines were used to record over 125 million votes during the 2004 presidential election in the United States. Smartmatic now acknowledges that Antonio Mujica, a Venezuelan businessman, has controlling interest in Smartmatic, but the company has not revealed who all the Smartmatic owners are. According to the press, Smartmatic's owners are hidden through a web of offshore private entities, and that is, in fact, true. Smartmatic has been associated with the Venezuelan government led by Hugo Chavez, which is openly hostile to the United States, and of course, as we all know, communistic and really brutalizing its own people. The system has been continued there by Mr. Maduro and ensured his election. Smartmatic's possible connection to the Venezuelan government poses a potential national security concern in the context of its acquisition of Sequoia, because electronic voting machines are susceptible to tampering, and insiders are in the best position to engage in such tampering. This letter expresses concern of the Chicago 2006 primary election. And it ends by saying the products and services that are of Venezuelan origin and evaluate Smartmatic's ownership to determine who could have influence and control over these and other Sequoia products and services are important to the national security of the United States. This letter was written to Hank Paulson on October 6, 2006 by Congresswoman Carolyn B. Maloney. Senators Klobuchar and Warren have raised these concerns as recently as December 2019. Why our government has not taken them seriously is beyond my comprehension, unless they have, some of the three-letter agencies have used them themselves in other parts of the world. We know that the technology was exported to affect an election in Argentina. That's admitted by our friend who wrote the affidavit about Hugo Chavez and his interest in Smartmatic. Again, in 2006, Carolyn Maloney wrote the Honorable John Snow, the Secretary of the Treasury, about the issues. Speaking of Smartmatic's leadership, one of the Smartmatic patent holders, Eric Coomer, I believe his name is on the web as being recorded in a conversation with Antifa members saying that he had the election rigged for Mr. Biden, nothing to worry about here, and they were going to F Trump. His social media is filled with hatred for the president.
Let's pause it. John, you and I are listening to this again, right? And of course, I forgot half of what I heard yesterday. How is it possible that this is my question? You have serious people alleging that our voting system in the United States of America was not just compromised by some bums in Chicago or Philly Democratic backroom politicians, but that we're dealing with figures who are so dark that they are related to Venezuela, to actual communists, wannabe communists like AOC.
There's an important line in there we need to remember. She said it's quite possible that three-letter agencies in the U.S. government, she means the CIA,
and the FBI,
but especially the CIA, have used Smartmatic when we, through a CIA coup, overthrew the elected government of Ukraine, and they presented it as this glorious color revolution of the people rising up. It was our CIA toppling the government. They probably used this software. So what we're seeing, this is really a deep state operation. The same people who tried to destroy Donald Trump through the fake Russia collusion, by hiding the Hunter Biden laptop that would have proved him innocent of the impeachment, the same people in the deep state that went after tried to destroy General Flynn are trying to steal the election for Joe Biden so that their filth and their corruption are never uncovered.
Okay, we're going to go to a break. Ladies and gentlemen, I am implicating you in this. You have to participate with us in getting this information out. This is so horrifying. We cannot dismiss it. We cannot shrug. God forgive us if we shrug and keep walking. You talk about the Good Samaritan and walk crossing the street. This is that times 10 million. This is going to affect the whole world. It sounds crazy, but I don't think it is. We need to at least pursue it. We'll be right back. Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm asking you to lure you in with John and me to participate in this, to share this video or these clips with people you know. The idea that not only the mainstream media, but conservative media, Fox News in particular, has just spat on this stuff as though it is unhinged and ridiculous. I'm not an idiot. John is not an idiot. We watched it and we think it is far from that. Unfortunately, it's probably entirely credible based on the people who delivered this information, most particularly Sidney Powell. So John, we're going to play more of Sidney right now and then we're going to react to it. Let's go with that.
President, and for the United States of America as a whole, as are the social media accounts of many other Smartmatic people. There has been widespread use of this. Dominion itself is utilized in 2,000 jurisdictions in 30 states. It has been uncertifiable in multiple states who realized all the problems that it had, including Texas. Experts have described it across the board, from a Princeton group of three professors to experts that we have talked to about its end user vulnerabilities. People can admittedly go in and change whatever they want. They can set the ratio of votes from one thing to another. They can say that a Biden vote counts as 1.25 and a Trump vote counts as 0.75. And those may be the numbers that were actually used here. It's not just the swing states that were affected. The algorithm was likely run across the country to affect the entire election. Like I said, we only discovered it this year because of the overwhelming number of votes for President Trump in the swing states that caused the machines to have to shut down for them to backfill for adding votes. We have evidence of different numbers of votes being injected into the system, the same identical, unique six-digit number multiple times in at least two states that we've analyzed so far. And I'm talking about like 341,542 votes for Biden and 100,012 for Trump. There's no explanation, no logical explanation for the same numbers being injected 20 minutes apart into the machine.
Stop there. John, you and I just heard that again. This is the second time. I didn't catch this yesterday when she said this. This is what we're going to talk to this expert in hour two of this program. But the point is, people who looked at this said this kind of stuff is absolutely mathematically impossible. In other words, anybody who's in the fraud detection business would be like, boom, 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 three, six big red flags when they see this kind of stuff. There is no way this stuff can happen. So here you have Sidney Powell providing specifics. I mean, she's not laying out the case in court, because Jenna Ellis kept saying, this is just an opening statement. It's in court that you provide the evidence. So why do you suppose Tucker last night was seemingly outraged?
Tucker Carlson threw a tantrum because he didn't get an exclusive on this story, the way he did with that Hunter Biden's associate, the Polish name. I forgot his name. You know, the guy who is working with
Babalinski.
But she didn't come on here like Babalinski and give him a 5-day exclusive, and so he's throwing a little media hissy fit. Like an entitled brat. There's no other way to describe it.
Somebody said that, and I don't really agree with that, in the sense that I know Tucker well enough that I respect him deeply. I feel like he missed something. In other words, I think he was hoping for something. See, here's how I read it. I read it that folks like Tucker, or Tucker in particular, is really hopeful that Sidney and company have the goods. And I think he is feeling, Victor Davis Hanson said this yesterday on Lou Dobbs, that if you don't come out with some of this stuff pretty quick to get the American public on your side, it's going to be game over. And I think
But if you give names and addresses, you could get your witnesses murdered. And I almost posted this on Twitter yesterday. Sidney Powell did not kill herself. Then I thought it would be too dark a joke. But I honestly fear for her personal safety, and I certainly feel fear for the personal safety of any witnesses who have information like this. If people are willing to do a conspiracy this vast to steal an election, the same people who are willing to destroy Nick Sandman's life, to lie about Brett Kavanaugh, the same people, you know, willing to destroy anyone who gets in their way, I wouldn't want to be one of the witnesses in this case. And I certainly wouldn't want to have my name out there before I was standing in federal court with protection.
Well, this is why I'm asking the American people and I'm asking the people who listen to this program, how can you look the other way when a few people are literally putting their lives on the line, certainly their livelihoods, their reputations, their careers, but even their lives? There is no question that when Giuliani went up against the mob, they wanted him dead. And even people like Curtis Sliwa, who was on this program 2 weeks ago, the mob tried to kill him twice and really, really almost succeeded. When you're playing with this kind of evil and this kind of money, the least we can do is hear these people out, treat them with respect, and not sneer at them.
Wait for the evidence. We waited years for the Russia collusion evidence. We gave Bob Mueller millions of dollars, a team of government attorneys, years and years, and he came up with nothing, zero, bupkis. But did anybody who'd hype the Russia collusion story pay a price? Did anybody in the media pay any price at all for being totally 100% wrong about the Russian collusion story? The answer is no. Whereas Giuliani, Ellis, and Powell, their lives will be destroyed if they're wrong about this.
If you don't have contempt
for the reporters and politicians who hype the Russia collusion nonsense and respect for these three courageous attorneys, there's something profoundly wrong with you. You should look in the mirror, do some spiritual introspection, find the flaw, the missing piece in your soul, because you are the problem.
I mean, I'm telling you, John, this is why you start feeling lonely when the people on Fox News are viciously attacking what we just heard. And again, I'm telling you, folks, sign up for my newsletter. Go to ericmetaxas.com. It may get difficult for us to share this information with you. I'm just telling you right now, Twitter, Facebook, even YouTube, these places, they're shutting down things they don't like, and there's not much we can do. At this point, please sign up for my newsletter, ericmetaxas.com. You'll see it there. When we come back, we've got more with John Zmirak and more from Sidney Powell's commentary yesterday. Don't go away. So we're playing the testimony from yesterday of Sidney Powell. I'm reacting to it with John Zmirak. Folks, this is historic stuff. Please share this with your friends. Let's keep going with Sidney Powell.
The software manual itself, you can download it from the internet, and I would encourage you all to read it because it specifically advertises some of these things as features of the system. Why it was ever allowed into this country is beyond my comprehension, and why nobody has dealt with it is absolutely appalling. The machines were easily accessible to hackers. There's a video on the net that it will explain to you how a kid with a cell phone can hack one of these voting machines. There's been no oversight of Dominion or its software. Workers in each county were trained by Dominion, but there's no evidence of any monitoring otherwise. We have testimony of different workers admitting that they were trained how to dispose of Trump votes and add to Biden votes. The software has a feature pursuant to which you can drag and drop any number of batches of votes.
Okay, John, you and I and the audience just heard what Sidney said. Now, let's follow the logic here.
Right.
She said she has affidavits. Okay, these are legal documents from people putting their lives on the line themselves.
Penalty of imprisonment for perjury.
Claiming precisely what we are talking about. In other words, it's not something like saying, okay, there's these Dominion machines, blah, 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 blah. No. Specificity from poll workers trained by Dominion to flip votes from Trump to Biden. They have affidavits. That is called legal evidence. So how is it possible that the brilliant and I find heroic Tucker Carlson could question this? How is it possible that everybody on Fox immediately following this, and that that National Review and people like that could discount what we just played. And by the way, she said that Carol Maloney and other liberal Democrats have written letters years ago and 2 years ago questioning Dominion voting and questioning this stuff. So
Elizabeth Warren was one of the people who questioned Dominion software. Yeah, Elizabeth Warren, Senator Elizabeth Warren questioned Dominion software. So what the Trump team did was provide very powerful, suggestive evidence that there is something real here. Now they have to hurry up and get it in front of judges before we hit the deadline for certifying electors. They are on, you know, they're on the line to prove this pretty soon. And I wish Tucker Carlson had just said that. I wish he'd just say, well, guys, if this is true, I hope you prove it soon, and we'd be happy to have you on. But
apparently, he actually did. He actually did say stuff like that.
There was apparently some behind-the-scenes tension over between Sidney Powell and Tucker Carlson about her appearing on his show as a guest. I wish he were more professional and had just left that bitterness out.
Again, listen, I love Tucker, and I don't know what happened, but I will simply say that what we just heard, if it was the only thing we heard, that is called evidence. An affidavit, okay, this is a legal document from a poll worker saying, I was trained by Dominion to flip votes from Trump to Biden. Now, if that person is not lying, okay, that is evidence that will stand up in court. And I have to say, if that is true, why wouldn't the rest of it be true? In other words, that is a stunning statement. Okay, we're going to go to break in hour two, more with John Zmirak. We're just going to follow this story. We have a lot more clips to play. Folks, I just feel like this is so very, very important. I ask you to share this. I ask you once again, please go to ericmetaxas.com, sign up for our newsletter so we can share this information with you in bite-sized form and in other ways. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in hour two with more of Precisely the Same. We'll continue. Thank you. This is hour two of the Eric Metaxas Show. No time for joking. We're in an historic moment. I'm talking to John Zmirak. We're playing the testimony, or rather the clips from the speech yesterday from the press conference given by the president's lawyers. Rudolf Giuliani, Jenna Ellis, and Sidney Powell spoke and answered questions. I want to say Sidney Powell is a profound evangelical Christian. Jenna Ellis is a profound evangelical Christian. I know her personally. John knows Sidney Powell personally. If you listened to the first hour, and I hope you do, we will put it out ASAP, and we will certainly get it on our YouTube channel, The Eric Metaxas Show. I ask you to share it, to listen to it. We've also put up the entire press conference because, frankly, there's no substitute for that. I think every American should listen to it himself. But let me say that because these people are trustworthy, John and I are horrified that not just the mainstream media, like ostriches with their heads in the sand, but that conservative media, Fox News in particular, took some really nasty swipes. Actually, even Laura Ingraham yesterday, I have no explanation for.
They all got the memo. If you want to stay on this network, you will help us prepare the Biden transition, and they're all doing it.
Okay, well, I don't know whether I can agree with that or not, but we'll see, won't we? What's that?
We'll see if more evidence, when the evidence is produced, when the president's team produces the evidence, will they report on it or will they continue to say stuff about like Giuliani's hair and Sidney Powell's outfit and Jenna Ellis's smile?
Let me just say one thing. Yesterday, there was a very, very nasty article put out by CNN. Now, I'm not surprised. That's what they do. And what it did was it quoted Jenna Ellis saying mean things about the president 4 or 5 years ago. And it made a whole article out of it. In other words, let's take what she said back before she knew Trump, before she worked with Trump, before she turned around. I mean, I made fun of Trump before I decided, no, I think he's the man, right?
So did I.
They turned it into a whole article at CNN.
This is what happens when you have a whole propaganda machine fighting against three people. This is a propaganda machine like in Eastern Europe.
But my point is that I expect that from CNN. It was a vicious, uncalled for article. But Laura Ingraham tweeted it out to her zillion followers, and with two words commenting, it said, not good. And I thought to myself, here's what's not good. You're giving fuel to that fire and tweeting it out. Why would you do such a thing? Why would you draw attention to the fact that CNN is saying these mean things? Or are you in fact implying that Jenna Ellis is in trouble because 5 years ago she said something? I mean, it was so bizarre. Look,
Eric, what's happening is there are elements in the Republican Party that never liked Trump being there in the first place. They want to excrete him. They want to pass him like a kidney stone so we can get back to the likes of Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan and John McCain and his heirs, where the Republicans are the Washington generals who were paid to lose gracefully to the Harlem Globetrotters every single game. Once the Washington Generals beat the Globetrotters and the whole audience booed them as they left the arena with the audience booing because they weren't supposed to win. That's Donald Trump. He wasn't supposed to win.
Right.
People like us are not supposed to win. The permanent ruling class doesn't want Trump, and so they're united. Okay,
but the point is that I absolutely do not see Tucker as among that group. Absolutely categorical.
I'm just telling
you right now, I don't. Laura Ingraham, I can't speak. I don't know where she stands, but I will say, John, that there have been heroes. Lou Dobbs has been heroic.
Yes.
Jeanine Pirro has been heroic.
Maria Bartiromo
has been heroic, and usually Tucker has been heroic and may still be heroic. I don't know how to read the last part of his thing yesterday, but let's play a little bit more of Sidney Powell's speech yesterday, because I want my audience to hear more of this.
To the candidate of your choice, or simply throw them away. So we have mathematical evidence in a number of states of massive quantities of Trump votes being trashed, just simply put in the trash like you would on your computer with any file, and Biden votes being injected. That's addition to the flipping. I mean, it really happens in two ways. There's an algorithm that runs that automatically flips all the votes, and then each operator has the ability to go in, override settings, they can ignore a signature, they can ignore the top line of the ballot, they can go down ballot and select who they want to change the results for. The gentleman who founded Smartmatic, there's video of him on the internet explaining that, yes, at least one occasion he admits they changed a million votes with no problem. Many of the jurisdictions that have had this problem might not have known of the issues, but many did. And I think a full-scale criminal investigation needs to be undertaken immediately by the Department of Justice and by every state's equivalent attorney general's office or state investigatory unit, because there's evidence of different benefits being provided to the people who spent $100 million of taxpayer money at the last minute for their state to get the Dominion voting systems put in time for this election in different ways. There's one person that a lawyer told me got, quote, election insurance, meaning that he would be able to make sure he was elected. I'm sure they explained that feature in detail to many people who expressed interest in putting this voting system in. Texas denied certification of the Dominion system in 2019.
So I've been reading on this, and John, I'm sure you know more about this than I do, but one of the most damning things about this whole narrative, Sidney and the Trump team are alleging that politicians, perhaps on both sides of the aisle around the country, were approached by these crooked Dominion folks and saying, hey, you know what, if you pay me X amount of money, I can literally guarantee that you will win. Like the polls are saying you'll win by 1%, but you're scared, aren't you? Well, we can guarantee that you'll win if you'll pay us this money.
Well, Eric, let me jump in here.
Powell does not make these claims lightly.
Let me jump in here. the former chief of staff of the governor of Georgia, the one who won't do an honest audited recount, his last chief of staff now works for Dominion Software. But I'm sure that's just a coincidence that the governor of Georgia doesn't want a real close look at the elections in his state, that his secretary of state is refusing to like match ballots to signatures on the ballots, you know, do signature match. I mean, I really am extremely suspicious of the governor and secretary of state in Georgia. And I wonder about the integrity of the Senate race that just took place. They don't want us to look at it. And my favorite thing is the conservatives are saying, you're ruining things. We're going to lose the Senate in Georgia because of you people. We have to give them the White House so that we can maybe hold on to the Senate and maybe moderate what Joe Biden would do. There's a lot of dirt there. There are a lot of people who ought to go to jail. And that's why there's so much pressure. Shut up.
Okay, that's the
nice point. Life, nice career you got there. It'd be a real shame if something were to happen to it. And that's why Rudy Giuliani, who faced the real New York mob, is not afraid of these people. But actually, I think the New York mob was kind of a benevolent institution compared to the deep state.
I think you're right. Look, in the next segment, folks, John and I, we're going to step out and have a cigarette. And I'm going to play my conversation from yesterday afternoon with the man who was part of the team that created the anti-fraud software for eBay. Do you know how much money we're talking about there? This is the man. So we're going to play that when we come back. And after that, I will continue the conversation with John Zmirak. Folks, we need you to help us spread the word on this. Spread John's article. I put it on Twitter and on Facebook. Spread any of this that you can. Time is of the essence. We need your help. We'll be back. Thank you. Folks, I hope you heard that previous segment. You can't make that up. I mean, this is one of the world experts on this kind of fraud. And he made it sound like there is zero doubt. I mean, sometimes even that doesn't say it strongly enough. It's kind of like if I told you yesterday, I fashioned a pair of wings for myself, flew to within a million miles of the sun, and flew back home again. If you said, well, there are zero odds that that happened, does that really do it justice? I mean, there's certain things that are so preposterous that you don't have words to describe how ridiculous it is. He made it clear that that's the level that he saw, that there is not a chance, that not any remotest mathematical chance that these irregularities could happen in the way they did in all these places. And this is, of course, what the Trump team is trying to talk about. John, I want to play a little bit more of Sidney Powell, and we're going to react to that. This is such important stuff. Here we go.
But there are no doubt issues with the software that Texas did use, unbeknownst to Texas, I would imagine, since they went to great trouble to examine the Dominion systems and reject them. But other software, the source code that does the alterations is embedded, we have been told, in the source code all across the country and all the voting machines. There's no doubt it has been used to alter elections in other countries. We know specifically that Venezuela exported it for that purpose to Argentina and other Latin American companies to make sure that the corrupt rulers who were willing to pay the highest price for being in office were allowed to rig their elections. This is stunning, heartbreaking, infuriating, and the most unpatriotic acts I can even imagine for people in this country to have participated in any way, shape, or form. And I want the American public to know right now that we will not be intimidated. American patriots are fed up with the corruption from the local level to the highest level of our government, and we are going to take this country back. We are not going to be intimidated. We are not going to back down. We are going to clean this mess up now. President Trump won by a landslide. We are going to prove it, and we are going to reclaim the United States of America for the people who vote for freedom.
That last part, John, you commented on Twitter. You can hear her. You can hear her heart and soul speaking in those last 40 seconds. Tell us what you said about that, because you know her personally.
Right. Well, when I heard her voice quavering, my first thought was, ooh, that doesn't sound good. She doesn't sound confident. Then I realized, my God, she's looked at all this evidence. She's talked to these people. She's talked to the people who signed the affidavits and the witnesses. She knows this is real and that she's outraged. She's upset. She probably has veterans in her family who fought for this country. And now to see it being stolen away by corrupt Venezuelan dictators and foreign billionaires and deep state spooks and, you know, corrupt election officials in crappy inner cities who stuff the ballot boxes, to see what our founders and our soldiers fought to create, to see it being stolen like the election in Ukraine or some election in Belarus, to see American exceptionalism stuffed down a bus station toilet like this. Of course she's upset. You'd have to be a sociopath not to be heartbroken about this if you think it's real. And the fact that Sidney Powell, a woman of unimpeachable personal integrity, who spent her life defending innocent people from the government, from corrupt government, deep state officials, that she is convinced of this and she is saying she has the evidence. I'm willing to wait a few days. We waited a year and a half for the worthless Mueller report. We can't wait a couple of days to find out if somebody's using a backdoor to steal votes. I'm sorry, but they're trying to put in the fix. They don't want us to look into this. Powerful people don't want this even discussed. And I feel like word has been put out. If you talk about this, you won't have much of a career. And I have the power to do it. But I see people folding like cheap tents. And it strikes me as cowardice, as groupthink, as a desperate attempt to make sure that the Biden administration doesn't go after me. It's contemptible.
Well, listen, that what you just said is, I remember this happening in 2016. People, they didn't threaten me, but they basically said to me, are you insane? Hillary is going to win, and you and anyone associated with you is going to have no career. You're going to be, you know, you're going to be tossed on the garbage dump of history. You better be careful. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, first of all, even if you were right, which I didn't think they were, but even if you're right that she were to win, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to pretend that I'm in a communist country and I better be careful. Mm-hmm. People who think that way can go to hell, as far as I'm concerned. I live in the United States of America. People died so that I can have these freedoms, and I ought to be willing to die to preserve these freedoms, certainly to lose a career. But this is what I'm saying, is that unless you understand what is at stake, unless you understand what we have, the freedoms of this republic, if you understand those things, you know that not to fight for those things is despicable. So my larger point is that I think the evidence that I have gotten, independent of what I heard yesterday at the press conference, okay? Steve Cortez gave a talk the other day. You know what? We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue with John Zmirak, folks. This is very important. Please spread the word. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show talking to John Zmirak. We are covering yesterday's press conference. I put it on our YouTube channel, the Eric Metaxas Show YouTube channel. I'm asking every single American to watch the whole thing in its entirety. You must, because it's being filtered horribly.
Lied about, and the people involved are being personally attacked, and their characters are being assassinated. I want people who maybe didn't live through the Cold War, people under 40, under 35, to know, in the Soviet Union, they got smart. They stopped arresting people for their political ideas. And instead, they arrested them and said they were mentally ill. And they confined them for various made-up psychiatric diagnoses because they were dissidents against the government. They put them in mental hospitals. And now it's happening again in Europe. Politicians who complain about Islam and about Muslim immigration are being charged with mental illness. They're being told, it's being claimed that Islamophobia is a mental illness that people need to be confined and treated for. Watch your freedom shrinking as the walls, John, are closing in.
Look, here's the point, and you're making it, but this is this is satanic evil. If you don't have that category in your quiver, you don't get it. When someone like Sidney Powell or Giuliani, I want to play the Giuliani clip in a second, but when they say these things, there's at least enough there to take it very seriously, right? Okay? But even before yesterday's press conference, Steve Cortez gave a talk. We've been doing these prayer calls. He gave a summation and then sent an article. I put it all over my social media yesterday, where he, in a very simple way, from his own point of view, points out four ways we can know there was fraud. In other words, it's logical. This is not just histrionics. This is very logical. I have heard other people present similar stuff. The guy that we just had earlier, there are many, many perfectly logical reasons, not ideological reasons, to suspect that evil people tried to steal an election from whom? From the American people. If you do not understand the sanctity of people voting to choose their leaders, the sanctity of the liberty won in 1776 and 1783, and blood was shed. Most people don't really seem to understand this anymore. The idea that people would try to steal that, I just want to say, folks, it is one of the most despicable things imaginable. If somebody said to you, I'm going to murder and torture this child, and you said, well, I'm not sure what to think of that, or I'm not sure what, the horror of it ought to make you instantly want to do anything you can if there's a shred of evidence. We're talking about something that is so wicked, every American should be utterly outraged at the very possibility of this and should want to get to the bottom of this with everything we have to make sure either it's baloney and we know it's baloney, or if it's not baloney, to make sure that the people who did this go to jail and that everyone in America knows this will never happen again. We are a free people. We will never, ever countenance this kind of satanic corruption in our wonderful system.
And let's remember, it's corruption in service of abortion up through birth, open borders, abolishing the Electoral College, packing the Supreme Court, cooperating with China and the rest of the Great Reset in getting rid of our liberties using this virus as a pretext. It's part of a global movement to take away people's rights. They call it the Great Reset. Pierre Trudeau in Canada, Justin Trudeau in Canada already said, we're using this virus as an opportunity to accelerate the plans we've always had for remaking society in a new and better way. Build back better. If you people let this happen, when Biden does that, you're going to be gagging on it. You're going to be wearing a mask. You're going to have a vaccine, whether you wanted it or not. You're going to be locked down, and you're not going to have any freedoms. You're going to go back. If only we'd listened to Jenna Ellis and Sidney Powell. They're in prison now, right? Oh, yeah. Rudy Giuliani committed suicide. Honestly.
They say, right? Look, John, what you're saying, I mean, again, this is the point. There's a thing called bondage and tyranny and slavery, and most Americans, we are so coddled and so blessed, we can't even conceive of it.
Right.
When it is in front of our face, when we're being threatened with some form of it. That's the problem. Let's play this clip from Rudy Giuliani, and we'll comment on that as well.
Our goal here is to go around the iron curtain of censorship. That what publication are you with?
CNN.
It's to go around the outrageous iron curtain of censorship and get facts to the American people that if you were a fair and honest network, you'd have been reporting for the last 2 weeks. These are facts. These are things that actually happened. These people really wrote these affidavits. These affidavits are really part of the public record. You're concealing them, you're covering them up, and our role here is to do your job because you don't do it.
So is Rudy Giuliani making this up? Is it unhinged? If he knows what he knows, and Jenna Ellis and Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood and these others have seen this evidence, they know that actual affidavits. They have them. They have hundreds of affidavits. They can't share them. Why? Because it would threaten the lives of the people who sign these affidavits. What are we missing? Why is this so difficult for people? I cannot fathom that if there is any chance that this is true, that we wouldn't use everything we have to get to the bottom of it. Because I'll tell you what, folks, can you imagine allowing somebody to get into the White House by this means? Can we imagine that in America? If they're willing to do that, what would they be willing to do beyond that?
And as my friend Paul Gottfried over at Chronicles Magazine, one of the most brilliant political observers, you should read Chronicles Magazine, read Paul Gottfried. He said, in 1960, the Democrats cheated to put JFK in office, and Nixon conceded because he thought it'd be good for the country. But back then, the two parties were not so radically different. You didn't have one party that wanted to kill babies, open the borders, take away parental rights, close the churches, and fundamentally transform the country into something else, the way the Democrats do now. This is not a time for us to pretend we're in a 1940s civic textbook. When the other side, if you're in a boxing ring and the other boxer takes out a chainsaw, you don't keep playing by the Marquess of Queensbury rules.
John, we've got to go to a break. We've got a final segment with John Zmierich. Folks, please share this. John Zmierich, I've never done this before. We have not been a breaking news kind of program in the 6 years that we've been on the air. I like to have rambling, interesting, fun conversations. We are at a place in our history I never thought that we would get here. It is horrifying to me that even Fox News seems willing to turn a blind eye to this. I don't know. Sometimes you think maybe people are wearing different glasses and they're seeing a completely different thing than what I just saw. I do not understand how you could watch that press conference. And again, it's at our YouTube channel. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. How do you watch that press conference and think that these people with quavering voices and passion are doing anything cynical? This is about as honest as anything I've ever
seen. These are people risking absolutely everything, going up against the powerful on behalf of the vulnerable. And I'm sorry, Eric, there are a lot of people out there who, when they hear that, they hear, oh my God, these Democrats are ruthless. They could get me next. I better get on their side and try to get on their good side. That a lot of people, that's what it is. They're like, oh, well, the fix is in. The Germans are marching into Paris. Let me go rewrite my resume in German and run, not walk, to greet right. The troops as they come into Paris so I can get a job.
But you sum it up perfectly. So I'm saying to my audience, what do you believe in? Because if you're capable of that, if you're capable of putting your finger in the wind and saying, oh, these people won by evil means through corruption, I better get on their side because I don't want to get in trouble. Have you no soul? Do you not believe in right and wrong? Do you not believe that there's a time to fight? People have put their lives on the line through the centuries for these things. Why would we say, well, we don't really care. I don't want to risk anything. I don't want to risk my job. I don't want to risk my neighbor looking at me funny. I mean, I don't understand how anybody with a soul and a conscience could take that view. People have taken that view. John and I have talked about this. People in Vichy France, people always take these cynical views, but surely you wouldn't want to be one of them. Surely you wouldn't want to be associated with people who would sell their souls just to save their skin. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So I ask you also, if you claim to be a person of faith, really? I mean, if you're a person of faith, you don't fear death. You believe that was defeated. And that you're utterly free to do the right thing and that God is with you. And if God is with you, who can be against you? That's the only kind of faith that matters ultimately. And we're facing things. I don't believe I'm a Cassandra. I think this is what the evidence leads us to believe. And until it is proved otherwise, we must do everything we can. And so it's why John and I are having this conversation today. I desperately hope you will share this. We will get it up on our YouTube channel at the Eric Metaxas Show ASAP. But we've never been here for before. We've never been here before, folks. And I want to say to you, each of us has a role to play, and each of us likely will be judged by what we do now. Because if we enter the dark future where America's votes are stolen by people working with foreign governments who don't believe in the founding principles, it's no longer America.
There's no going back.
There's no going back. I'm
in 1917. In 1917, a few hundred people seized control of one building, and the Soviet Union was created. And it took 70 years and tens of millions of dead people, burned churches, genocide, war, for that country to come out from under communism, and they still haven't healed and haven't become a free society. That's what you're leaving to your children and your grandchildren if you let them get away with this. Shame on you.
We wanted to end on a sobering note. We've done it. Folks, thank you for whatever you can do to help. God bless you. Quick question. Do you share the values of the people who sell you things?
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell.
I can tell you that I do. I love Mike Lindell, not just Mike Lindell, but what he stands for.
I encourage you to use this time at home to get back in the Word, read our Bibles, and spend time with our families.
The dude said that at the White House. How can you not love him?
What difference at this point does it make?
No, actually, it does make a difference. How you spend your money is as important as how you vote, and you don't want to, you know, help elect some crazy guy, do you?
You may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head.
Did he just say that?
If you fell off sideways, you landed on the darn cement.
So if you want your money to support good things, visit MyPillow.com.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
And please use the discount code Eric or Metaxas.
If you use pomade in your hair, you had to wear a bathing cap.
A bathing cap? Anyway, please go to MyPillow.com and use the code Eric or Metaxas.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.